The novelist Michael Chabon is trying to blur the difference between literary fiction and beach reading. He's a Pulitzer Prize-winning author. He's been promoting the kind of stories that serious writers often avoid, which happen to be the kinds of stories that many people actually read. Chabon himself has written a mystery called The Final Solution. The detective is an 89-year-old described only as the old man. It quickly becomes clear that the old man is Sherlock Holmes.
The first writer that I really fell in love with was Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, and in particular, his Sherlock Holmes stories. And the first story that I ever wrote was a Sherlock Holmes story. It was a kind of pastiche. I was inspired by the then new example of the 7% solution by Nicholas Mayer. I guess I was 10 or 11 years old, and I decided I would write my own Sherlock Holmes adventure. And I think it was just sort of a natural part of that process that I would look back at Conan Doyle and Sherlock Holmes and start thinking about him and writing a story, although he's never named as such in the book.
You still got that story that you wrote when you were very young, the Sherlock
Holmes
story?
Yes. It's in a box in a shed behind my house, actually. It was called The Revenge of Captain Nemo.
Did you go back and read The Revenge of Captain Nemo when preparing for this book?
No, I didn't. You know, every so often I cross paths with that. I pick it up, look at it very fondly and with great embarrassment, the way I look at photographs of myself from the same period with huge wads of electrical tape on the corners of my gigantic eyeglasses. And, you know, I feel sorry for myself and I sort of think I look cute. And that's how I feel when I look at that story, too.
Would you mind reading a passage of your book that gives us a sense of what this old man is like that you've reconstructed here?
Absolutely. I'll say that this story is set in 1944, at which point the old man is living in retirement in Sussex, keeping bees. Even on a sultry afternoon like this one, when cold and damp did not trouble the hinges of his skeleton, it could be a lengthy undertaking, done properly, to rise from his chair, negotiate the shifting piles of ancient bachelor clutter, newspapers both cheap and of quality, trousers, bottles of salve and liver pills, learned annals and quarterlies, plates of crumbs that made treacherous the crossing of his parlor and open his front door to the world. Indeed, the daunting prospect of the journey from armchair to doorstep was among the reasons for his lack of commerce with the world. 9 visitors out of 10 he would sit, listening to the bemused mutterings and fumblings at the door, reminding himself that there were few now living for whom he would willingly risk catching the toe of his slipper in the hearth rug and spilling the scant remainder of his life across the cold stone floor.
Michael Chabon, what I love about that passage is the way that it reminds me of reading about Sherlock Holmes' apartment when I was a kid. It's the same life, only everything is 50 years older.
Yes, right. He's transferred, you know, a fair degree of the contents of the flat at 221B Baker Street, I suppose. And I didn't even have to really look back at the stories, although I hadn't read them for some time. I found it was all just still so vivid to me. And I think that's a testimony to what a truly fine writer Sir Arthur Conan Doyle is. And I don't think he is really given enough credit for the quality of his writing.
Was it strange at all as a quote-unquote serious literary writer to write a mystery story?
I'm very mindful of those quotes that you just put around the phrase. And in some ways, those sort of protect me from having too much fear that what I'm doing might somehow be, you know, beneath me, which I absolutely do not feel at all. And in the actual writing, I did not feel any different. It's really indistinguishable to me from writing anything else.
Is it fair to see this book as a larger effort that you're making, though? Because you also got a lot of attention when you put together a literary anthology a couple of years back of other people's writings. And the short stories that you chose to put in were stories with plots, ghost stories, murders, mysteries, that sort of thing.
In a way, this is the danger to the rest of the world for giving someone a Pulitzer Prize, because this is merely a crotchet of my own that nobody would be paying any attention to, nor, you know, ought they necessarily be paying any attention to it.
What are you trying to say?
I'm really annoyed by pigeonholes and categories and labels. I view them as iniquitous to the spirit of play and of experimentation and of storytelling. The fact that a bookstore, the fiction is divided into fiction and mystery and science fiction, I don't understand why it has to be that way. To me, it's all fiction. And I think the best science fiction, the best mystery fiction, the best horror fiction ought to be put on a par with the best, quote-unquote, literary fiction. You know, there's this famous thing, Sturgeon's Law, named after the science fiction writer Theodore Sturgeon, who said that 90% of everything is crap. Maybe he said crud, actually. And, you know, I think that's true, and it's just as true of the so-called literary fiction as it is of the science fiction and mystery. So, you know, if I owned my own bookstore, I would just have the best 10% of everything, and I would stick it all together in one section and call it fiction and have done with it.
You're doing this at a time when it's commonly said that people don't read books. If they do read books, they're not reading fiction. And if they do read fiction, they're not reading literary fiction.
I know. People do say that. They've been saying that the novel is dead since 1961. And, you know, when I look around, I see the novel seems to me in the hands of writers as diverse as the English writer David Mitchell or the American writer Cynthia Ozick. When you look at things that are being done in the novel form, it seems to me that the novel is very much alive.
Do you hope that there might be people who will pick up this Sherlock Holmes story, this mystery that you've written, who might not otherwise have read some of your work?
You know, what I would really hope would be that a lot of people who might be inclined to pick up this book and read it because it's one of my books might then think, hey, maybe there's more to this Arthur Conan Doyle than I thought there was, and go back and pick up some of those fantastic stories. And the man was a real writer. He was in touch with powerful, painful, deep stuff, and it comes through even within this rather tidy framework of the Victorian detective story.
Michael Chabon is the author of The Final Solution. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Steve. It's been a pleasure.
The works of Arthur Conan Doyle will also make an appearance in the program tomorrow. We will investigate the mysterious death of the world's foremost expert on Sherlock Holmes.